This conference will now be recorded.
I have acceptance of the agenda, which is today is a working meeting, no public comment.
I make a motion that we accept the agenda as published.
Okay. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Let's make a note so you can. Okay. This is Sarah Wright. We met Sarah Wright back in January. Was it accident?
It was January at the virtual board meeting.
Right, and Sarah is the co-director or director?
Yeah, deputy director.
Or deputy director, because I had you down as director, but she's the deputy director for the Colorado Library Consortium. And she is going to help us to understand, right, the process for hiring a director and the steps we need to take because we want to be methodical. What do I want to say? We want to be methodical in this process. This is a big thing to hire a director for the library. And I can't speak to past boards and how they've hired directors, but I know that we want to look forward. We have a lot that we're planning to do. And we've seen, like in the last 6 months, as the board has been engaged in things that typically, you know, if we weren't kind of in this uncertainty time, we probably wouldn't have been as engaged in. So I think that helped. I know for me, it's helped me to understand what I think is very important in a director as we go forward. And so what I provided to everybody, just so you know, is I just gave them a copy of the library director qualifications and essential duties and responsibilities that we had.
Okay.
Already kind of in place. I provided them with a copy of that initial qualification rubric that you had provided one time before. Also a copy of the template for interview questions. And we used this when we interviewed for interim director. We had a list of questions that we used that we put on the sheet, and then we recorded our interviews on the sheet. And then the last one is the kind of the matrix sheet that you have put together where we list the candidates' names and then we rank them, right? And score them based on various factors and helps us make a decision. So those were the things that you had provided to me before, and I think they're still on your site when I looked at your site.
And there's one other, just for clarity's sake, it's not important right now, but just for clarity, there is one other document that comes before you would use this last document.
Oh, okay. There's
a document there you create where you actually get that score from. So there's criteria on which you would, the people that you feel meet your initial requirements, then you would rank them on various criteria that you would determine. And then you would come out with a score, and then you can put them into this one. It's got the
calculation.
The calculation, right?
Okay. And I will tell you, we use this rubric. We use these templates. I think all but the last one when we interviewed for trustees, and also when we interviewed for interim directors. So we use it as a way to differentiate when we were making our decisions. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that would be good practice for us.
Yeah.
Right. That when we go into hiring a director, kind of having been through that process via the trustee selection and via the interim director selection, that it would help us to kind of be familiar with the process.
Yeah.
I think, and I speak based on previous conversations with the board, right, that we're hiring this director, we're taking it seriously. Measured and methodical. That's what I was thinking about before. We're taking it very serious because we have a lot of growth coming in the community. Mm-hmm. As you can see, it's happening all around us. And we're wanting to expand the library, right? We've been that's been our long-term plan, is that pay off the building, which we did, and then begin to prepare ourselves to expand this building. And in expanding this building will mean expansion of services. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think we have some lessons learned from our you know, the previous director, that, you know, we want to ensure that a director that we select has knowledge about, strong knowledge about operations and community, strong knowledge in finance. And I think a good understanding of HR law and how that applies to the library. And I think those are the technical things that I see, right? And then, of course, we want somebody who's a strong leader and who will inspire people in the library, you know, the employees of the library and the managers of the library, and help us move forward. I feel like in the past, and you guys can feel free to speak up, but I feel like in the past, we kind of ran as a mom and pop shop. And because of where we are financially and how we're growing in this community, I think as the Board of Trustees, we've talked about this before, that we really see, that we really look at being good fiduciaries, like being key, especially as the money that we have continues to come in, right? And we know, and we understand, we've said this before, that we know the library is about the employees. And we've been trying, you know, in past years, we were suppressing a lot of our compensation because we were trying to pay off this ridiculous mortgage that we had on the building, right? And so just so you're aware, I mean, this year, what I think and what we'll be looking at and what I'll be recommending to the board is that we've been suppressing salaries for a long time. And if we can, what I would like to do, we were able to give a good increase for all of the employees this year. It was just like a across the board increase. But I'd really like to, and I've already talked to Employers Council yesterday, really look at what are those salary bands, right? And how can we maybe help them a little bit in the terms of what we're paying employees, what we're paying our library managers. And also, you know, I think when we went into this year, we talked about $70,000 is what we budgeted for a salary for the director. And I know we're asking for a lot when we say we want somebody with these skills. And of course, library skills. I should add that, library skills, right?
Right, of course. Right.
But I think we're asking for a lot. And so, and I'm expecting a greater level of experience in those areas. Somebody's very strong in those areas, so they can be a good partner with the Board of Trustees, and we can partner really well with the director to kind of move forward. What are the actions we're going to take to get us forward with all the things we have on our plate that we're planning on trying to do? Robert or Alan, do you have anything to add?
Well, I think it's incumbent upon us to understand that we are in a serious growth spurt. And that, and nobody could verify this any clearer than Roy, the community is going to go kicking and screaming into this. There are parts of growth that, you know, it makes them very happy because they can have certain things that they didn't have before. But it also marks change, and nobody generally comes to rural America to, you know, express that, you know, modernization. The person that comes to us is going to have to wear many hats, and one of them is, you know, they have to have an ability to sort of look at the hurry up and wait atmosphere that goes along with things like that we run into daily. Alan and I have spent the last 2 weeks three steps ahead, two steps backwards, you know, even things down to things like climbing the plans for this building. The town is growing rapidly, and they're going through the same exact thing we are, but it's going to take somebody that's going to have an understanding of that and an ability to sort of roll with the punches. But it's also imperative to know that the reason that we are have been as successful as we have been is because we do have library staff that is functioned as a piece of this community and a rock where oftentimes there is no stability in our local government, et cetera. So I guess we're looking for everything, and obviously it is going to cost more money than what we had before. And we also want to ensure that whoever comes here wants to stay with us. Because this is something that's going to take a period of years, and it's not just going to happen overnight.
I've only been on the board a little longer than Robert, and I was brought on the board because of construction experience. I have experience in running groups of people, but it's a different type of organization. Mm-hmm. And I am the librarians here got to know me because I read a lot. I mean, I average probably 4 books a week. I try to keep myself up to date. My wife doesn't let me get along away with too much. She's a retired librarian with public schools. And so it's made me smart enough to be dangerous. And so my purpose or my deal is construction. And so Robert and I, we've been scrambling around trying to get some movement there, but our biggest thing is we lost people, so we realized we got to replace those people and then try to keep moving forward so the public doesn't lose confidence in us, and that's my main scope.
And it took us a while, right? Like coming in November, budget season, needing to finalize the budget, needing to submit that budget, needing to brief the annual budget to the commissioners, and getting through an audit with no one really having the knowledge or experience of being through an audit before. I like to think that Ruben and Kathy and Lori and I, even with Alan, we divided and conquered, right, mm-hmm. to try to get the information that the auditor was looking for so that we could, clear the audit. So it's taken us a while. She finalized her response back to the findings, and I have a response to provide back, and I'll work on that this weekend. We'll get that back to the auditor. The auditor's coming in June, and we'll brief the board of trustees and then sign off on the audit. And then we didn't want to wait. What we're trying to do now is like pivot, right? So we're pivoting because out of all the things that we're trying to do, the director is important. We need to get our director in place so that we can get some normalcy back for the library managers. We're also mm-hmm. looking at hiring a part-time admin person to support the library managers while we're working on this director mm-hmm. as well. So I just want to make sure that we're methodical and measured, that we select a person who's going to lead us, who's going to lead this library forward, and treat it like a business that it is,
right.
and not like a mom and pop shop that it maybe has been, right? So, and that's no offense to anybody when I say that, Lori.
No.
If you're in a time of change and growth, then right.
Yeah.
That's all I'm hearing.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure we have the right person. And as Robert said, somebody wants to stay. I've said this, and I said this to Robert. I don't know if I've said it to Alan, but I've said it to Lori. Like, my term is up in January, and I plan to retire, and we're planning on moving. And so I want to make sure before I leave, as you know, out of everybody, we all bring something different to the board. And my experience that I bring to the board is my operations experience, my HR experience, my IT experience, just that ability to run a business, right? I have that type of experience at a different level. But everybody on the board brings some experience to the table. And what I have promised to the Board of Trustees, and I've even promised this to Lori, is that I want to make sure that I leave as the president of the board, that I leave it better than when I got it, mm-hmm. and that they're on sure foot to go forward so that we have a director in place who is learning and comfortable and has the knowledge they need to like deal with this, right? Deal with the operations. And that the trustees have somebody that they can trust that will help them in terms of defining policy and making sure that their commitments to, as trustees, right, and to have oversight of the policy and oversight of the purse, right, that we're doing it right. And so.
I'd like to add one thing. We did go through a period, unenviable as it was done, where we found ourselves placed in a situation where, as trustees, we never expected to go, which is that because we had president of the board quit, trustees, director go, and then the administrative assistant, she left. And so then we ended up having to step into positions and do things that, quite frankly, was a learning experience and uncomfortable on everybody. So, you know, we have, it's been a little hard scrabble to try and get everything back to the point where we are absolutely positive that we do not make some of the mistakes that have been made in the past, even the ones previous boards that kind of got us to this position. But I think that the other thing that we cannot emphasize enough is that the person that comes in has to have a certain amount of flexibility as we go through this and understand that it will be a growing process still, even though we are working many, many hours a week trying to get things where it's tenable for the staff, tenable for us, et cetera. I mean, Patty has just been over that. I mean, I can't believe the hours that she's put in. You can't, I mean, you know, she actually is one of those people in a corporation sometimes where they just lean on that one person that can fix all those things. Well, we're leaning over here, they're leaning over there, and quite frankly, I'm surprised they're still recording for Bobby.
I was saying yesterday at work, because we're going through stuff similar at work, and I said, somebody goes, do I need to bring you cookies? And I said, no. 2 years of cookies is by 50 pounds heavier.
Yep.
Somebody goes, alcohol? And I said, well, alcohol might be good, but I'm not an I don't drink. And then somebody goes, are we going to the drug level? And I said, I might take drugs. Some drugs. So, you know, so I laugh and say, I'm at a moment of needing some drugs, but I'm not, you know, I want to say, couldn't do it by myself. It's taken us all, right? And I know some of you may be a little frustrated that it seems like it's going slow, right? But I have to be methodical and measured in everything I do. So it's like, what's the top priority? What's the next priority? What's the next priority so we can get through it, right? And so here we are now. We're at the director. And so now we're coming to you and saying, help us to make sure that we're methodical and measured in what we do. And that when we make that selection, that we've done it the right way. And that we have the right person for the job. Mm-hmm. That's really super important to me because I want to make sure, like I said, that, you know, when my term is up, that this board doesn't freak out or the librarians don't freak out because they're like, oh my God, we're going through something again. Like, I want to make sure we have a strong director.
Right.
Yeah. Somebody who can move them through the chain. And I look at that from a director, somebody who can really, I mean, I think that's been part of the issue that we've had over the last 6 months is, right, we communicate with Lori or with Ruben, who have been interim directors, right? And I would hope that they would communicate down to the employees based on, you know, what they're hearing in our communications. But I know, like, we haven't really had a communication plan that really talked about what we were doing, right? And so I don't want people to think we've been sitting on this and there was some nefarious reason why we weren't hiring a director, right? Like we were just doing one thing at a time, and the audit was very time consuming.
Audit is crucial.
Yeah.
It's really time consuming. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't have done necessarily the best job on, if you were trying to do those concurrently, no.
I mean, that's the way I look at it, is like, it would have been too hard. Like, it's too hard to, it's.
That would not have been a good.
If I didn't work full-time, maybe, but I think, you know, doing this, like, in my part-time, as a part-time effort, right? Like, trying to multitask and juggle all of those things. You're not successful at anything when you're juggling too much. So, and these things too, the, you know, the audit and this director position are probably the two most important things. Yeah. In my mind.
Absolutely. So let me ask just a few things that I'm just curious about, and I just want to clarify some things that you were telling me. So when you're talking about growth, are you talking, are in and the community, are you referring to Elbert County as a whole or just Elizabeth? Is it different rates of growth? Is there like no growth in Simla, but there is in Elizabeth? So just tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay. Let me take a swing at this.
Sure.
Okay. The primary population growth is going to be in this area here, but the population density at this point in the northwest corner is already higher than it is other places, and it's kind of unusual because a lot of the people who live in that corner of our county don't really identify so much with being in Elbert County.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be sort of thought of as in the southeastern portion of the metropolitan area, the shopping window, mm-hmm. whatever. And there's nothing that chaps their humble behinds any more than having to actually come to like Iowa to be a driver's license.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So there's this merging of all of these different things.
Yeah.
One of the things that does to us, Lauren knows this really well too, is that we have, we have operations in Samuel, we have people in Elbert, the town of Elbert. We try to do things with Agate as much as we possibly can.
Yeah.
We're here. This is the hub right now.
Right.
But it would really be a serious mistake if we didn't, in all of this, what we're doing is if we don't identify and address the population in the northwest corner, and that is all coming this way. We are talking about, and I'm not talking out of shop here, probably a doubling of this population within 2 years in this.
Wow, and if that's based on like building permits that are full, not approved yet necessarily, but building that you've seen going on, there's got to be a place for those people to live.
The ground is being worked. It's obvious on both sides of us, and even that side.
Well,
that side's the only side that isn't being worked, but it's being worked several miles from here. So.
Yeah. I did notice that, and I thought, it's been 6 years since I've been there.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't remember a big R there. And I thought, wow, okay, either I just don't remember because it's been too long.
The construction sprouted almost within the same couple of weeks. And we knew it was coming.
Yeah. I didn't remember there was a Walmart there.
Yeah.
So I was,
And we will have apartments.
Yeah,
that will be on the other side of the big R.
The tractors on this side are building apartments.
Wow,
there are also.
There's a cow over there, very excited about something. What is over there? They're building something. How is that happening?
It is the indicator that we always use construction is where's the McDonald's?
Now we know
where that is. Yeah. And now the next question, the next level of that is where's the consumer? As these questions are asked, that with more frequency, that's a pretty good indicator of what people are feeling, etc. And we are still. This is the hard part for all of us. We are still a community that is going to have the vast majority of our jobs outside of this county.
Yeah.
So the emphasis coming in here will have a higher number of seniors to begin with, which is good for us. It's also going to have this sort of, we've got kids, we're going to have to go into the city to work and come out here. And whenever that happens, and my background is in education, that always puts a higher demand on libraries and people that care about children. You know, we daycare facilities, libraries, places where you can get a tutor to go work with your child, et cetera. And so, you know, the handwriting is on the wall. We are, if anybody that was worried about whether it was coming or not, the fuse has been lit.
It was just a little over a year ago that the community was very upset about the town of Elizabeth trying to do a comprehensive update to the master plan. And they did not want to see the growth. For those of us who knew growth was coming, you're not going to be able to stop the growth. No. Let us plan for it in a way that makes sense. But I mean, because
if you get left behind, Bertha did this, went through that when I was director there, and they just refused to accept that, and they got left behind, and frankly, they landlocked themselves, and that limits your future income.
Yeah,
I mean, that's where it all comes down to.
This town, it was made apparent to Robert and I last week, the town itself, I'd say it is already partially landlocked. The town is aware they're going to grow to a certain size, and that's unless some of the areas around here change their attitude, their population is going to reach a point somewhere within the next 10 years, and it's going to be at its max. And what's going to happen is the surrounding areas, i.e. and/or Kiowa, are going to start, they're going to be the ones that are swelling. Because right now, the land around Elizabeth
proper.
It is all large acreage plots, and they cannot be subdivided.
Right.
There are some stuff beyond that is being subdivided, and the fear is Parker might try to gobble them up. As the county goes, we would not like to see that because we want to kind of control our own destiny out here. And
autonomy.
So financially, that doesn't those particular issues. I mean, that answers my question. Thank you. But then taking that a next step further, really part of where my brain was going was the skills that you're going to want to try and find out about a person during an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And for financially for the district, your county district, so wherever the growth is, that's going to bring you money.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. But if there's, it's what I'm hearing is that you're going to want someone who is going to be able to be sensitive to that tension between people who wanted to stay rural and they want similar to stay similar. And the hell with everything else. I don't know anything about similar. That was just the one community that popped in my head where you ever been. Because the library does not exist as an island. And I think that's going to be really important. Is that can you find someone that's got that respect and that understanding for people's differing needs? And doesn't come in and say, oh, I'm from a big urban area, so you've got growth. Yeah, great, let's go.
Yeah.
That's like a prime.
That's where the master plan went wrong. We were awarded NALA Libraries Transforming Communities grant, which we've now had to extend twice because of COVID. They did give us another extension, so we are going to be able to do that. But it was all predicated on the really raw feelings here when that master plan came up. I'm a retired real estate appraiser, so this is all fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and people didn't know what was going on, but they were very strong feeling.
Yeah.
And what the master plan folks who are from town, you know, the Greenwood Village, downtown, Kansas City, they missed the step of what you want your community to be.
Yeah.
What's really important to you.
Right.
What they did instead was, well, won't this look nice? And this will look like the main street here, and the people saw the pictures of J. Jill on Highway 86. Yeah.
I will have to say, though, because I was part of that, that they did come in and they did have opportunities for people to come to the meetings. They had a couple of meetings and said, what do you want to see? What's important to you? What do you not want to see? And they did that, and they had people putting stickies on these boards, like, you know, trying to do that. And then if you only have a few people who show up for those things, that's the vision you see.
Right. Yeah.
And so it was those people who were local who could come to a 7:15 or a 7 o'clock meeting at the town of Elizabeth who gave that input, right?
Yeah.
And so then back to what she was saying is that I think those more out who weren't paying attention, then when they got called into that, they were like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
This looks like a Parker, and we don't want another Parker.
Right.
I think we're going to get it. It's coming. Right,
Castle Rock is like,
you know, barreling down 86. That all you have to know is that that acreage from as you're coming down 86, if you go, I think it's Legend or Highway or County Road 3, that County Road 3 to the place where you see the McDonald's, that 400 and something 11 acres has been sold. And the intent is
zoned.
And the intent of that is, maybe not high density housing all the way through it, but they said like medium density, maybe some low density in the back, and oh, some strip mall type stuff in the front, right? I won't say strip mall, like marketing, businesses, right, in the front. Mm-hmm. So it's coming. Mm-hmm. And I want, you know, us to make sure that we have somebody in this position as a director who can do that balance between the urban and the rural.
And we're in our infancy, which was the next level. You've probably seen this as well, where you always have the developer show up first, and then they try and sell, you know, ideas, and then people go kicking and screaming, you know, out of these meetings, and we haven't even begun to address, well, we don't have jobs for anybody, so now. The people who want to have an industry start knocking on.
Right.
And they usually follow like the highways and whatever they want access.
Right.
And the first thing that happens is if everybody wants a job, but nobody wants the plant, the whatever it takes.
Right.
Concrete block.
They don't want a light industrial park or whatever.
And that is our next thing too. And that's beginning. So, like I say, when Patty says it's coming, it is coming.
Yeah.
I can't say how far, you know, north or south of highway out there.
Yeah.
But it is going to.
Yeah.
The industry right now is trying to fill in between Elizabeth and Kiowa, because there's an industrial park that literally sits between the two towns, and it is on both sides of the road there. It is trying to grow, and I have the feeling Elizabeth Town Council and Kiowa Town Council are not in the loop with the county commissioners.
There's
a little bit of a disconnect there, which is kind of scary sometimes.
Well, for example, the Walmart.
That's county.
The Walmart is not in Elizabeth, which I look at that and I just, what were they thinking?
It's county.
It's county, which means they're not getting sales tax.
They use services from Elizabeth, but the developer, whoever, work that through somehow or another. The town blew it when they let that go, and so if you look at the city plan here for Elizabeth, it's a whole. It's kind of like Greenwood Village in in Denver.
So we want somebody, we're not asking for just like, what we're asking for really is somebody who really.
Somebody's going to have to be good with outreach to a lot of different groups. And
someone who has the experience, like, I don't think this can be a learning, this isn't a learning, this isn't a step for somebody. This is really more of somebody who's got the experience and knowledge how to do it, has strong experience in managing, you know, people in operations and an outreach.
Change management. So tell me, so when you're talking about your building project, you're talking about the rest of this building, right? Because last time I was here,
the warehouse,
there's that big warehouse out there. So that's what you're talking about. And tell me a little bit more specifically about what your Libraries Transformed grant is. What's the project?
The project is to have at least one and hopefully more conversations with people from around. I limited to the zip code so that I wasn't getting the whole county. And when the master plan came up, we had a lot of folks from Douglas County who were in and mad too. And it was kind of funny because they don't have an ore in the water, but they didn't know that. But anyway, so I limited it to.
But they're concerned about water. That was what they're concerned about.
And traffic, right? and what things look like. But anyway, so it's the zip code here, which is 80107.
Okay.
And the trick will be getting people that don't get heard very often. So I'm going to have to go to churches.
Community conversations.
A community conversation. And essentially it's along the lines of, what do you want this to be and what keeps you up at night worrying?
And it's built around the having some of those productive conversations about the master plan, and not necessarily it's the library is providing the foundation.
Oddly enough, I'm going to try to keep the library out of it.
That's what I mean.
A library thing.
That makes sense.
Because I want to get people who don't come in here.
Well, you're a neutral, right? And the library in this case is a neutral party.
That's right.
Because you're a separate unit of government.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's a community service, though. Yeah. We're having those difficult conversations to move them to production.
And then very visibly take the results of those conversations to the town council here and to the commissioners down the road so that they can hear that when people have a chance just to talk without having an agenda, do you like this plan or not, but just what do you want?
Right.
What worries you? I'm pretty sure just following the next door these days, what worries them is school security right now. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But that'll kind of simmer down a little bit. But it's going to be things like that. This is a hard place to be a teenager.
Yeah.
We're going to try and avoid some of the pitfalls that we've had in other districts where Lori has brought this attention very few way, where you can jump on board and then do too much of that, where all of a sudden all you're doing is catering to, we've got this for this, this for this, and next thing you know, you're really not the library.
Right.
You lose sight of your core principle.
Right.
And we really want to make these things
work. Yeah. It can't all be bells and whistles.
No.
You've got to have your meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
To be sure you're doing, I agree 100%. And you see too many places where it's just all about the next bright, shiny thing, and I'm going to chase that. Okay, but does that fit with your strategic plan? Does that fit with the needs of your community? Does that, you know, all of that.
And it's hard. You probably know better than anybody how in library land we follow each other. I don't think we have much of a need for a makerspace, but by golly, it's in the strategic plan.
You still have that location in Elbert. You mentioned Elbert, that's the school public, because they've got a lovely makerspace there. My understanding, at least when I visited there, again, this is 6 years ago, was that it during the public hours that it could be used. It wasn't exclusively for school.
Yeah.
So,
but But it's, you know, it's interesting.
Looking at things holistically, the district, I realize there's long distances.
Yeah.
Well, even if we look at Simla, right? Simla's really busy for a small little library.
Yes.
They're really busy because they're right across the street from the school.
Right.
And so there was some earlier discussion, for example, about expanding Simla, you know, working with the current owner of that property and maybe expanding it so that way she would have more space for more services, you know, to do more things.
Yeah. And building onto that empty answer, I'm sure they hit USDA.
That's right.
Down.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I'm choosing that goal.
Yeah. So, I mean, we know the growth is happening and the growth is coming, and we know we're the center of it at Elizabeth.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we don't think about all of our district,
right.
But
yeah.
This is where the
right
majority of the population
this
is going to be.
This is where you're like the iceberg or the tectonic plates are crashing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Things
yes.
are gonna
yeah.
like so, go to pieces if you're not.
And
if you don't take care of it.
All of our satellite facilities benefit from what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's
Simla has it's been approved. I don't know when construction is going to start on it, but there's supposed to be some kind of a medical facility that's producing some kind of medical devices in that area. And it's how soon that's going to happen. But that will increase the jobs by probably 5 or 6-fold in that immediate area, which is going to cause them problems because
they don't have the housing inventory.
Right. And so what they're going to do is they're going to suck stuff up Highway 24 from Falcon and Colorado Springs, which again, again is another problem. We don't want to let that area get out of the sphere as far as what we're able to provide to them.
Right, right,
And we want to make sure that we're covering the bases, or at least we're aware of it. We just kind of want to don't let it get away from us.
Right. Okay, so my last real question right now is so are you thinking perhaps of going back to the model where you have a district director and then you have branch managers at every location, as opposed to Tim, when Carrie May was fired,
yes,
then they just made Tim like some kind of weird hybrid thing.
Yes.
So to me, quite frankly,
I'm not
comfortable. Let me start.
When I took over here,
because I want to be brutally honest, and I don't want to offend anybody.
Tim was still had a dual role. He still had management of Simla plus being the director.
Right.
And the miles he put in, holy moly!
Well,
but he got that changed pretty quickly. So,
okay.
We definitely want it to. I'm going to tell you from the audit perspective, right, that what I recognized in the audit was that our library managers weren't engaged in the financial piece, and they weren't engaged in understanding what their responsibilities were and leading their people in terms of timekeeping and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They counted a lot, I think, on, and no offense.
Oh, but you're right.
They counted a lot on Tim and the financial admin.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was a best practice.
Yeah.
I think they learned a lot in the audit, and they're like, oh, we never knew that. That was great training. So I think it would be more appropriate that we have a director,
right,
a strong director for the director of the district, and the library managers manage their library.
Right.
Right. And then we're looking to automate or outsource that financial piece and the HR piece that really have been handed off somebody who, no offense, didn't have the training and the qualifications.
Well, it's a lot of legal stuff, and you have to have someone who knows the law.
So the goal would be to pull that back into the director. There were a lot of tasks that I saw on the job description that came from Tim for the financial admin, and my thought was like, what is Tim doing? These are really things that he should be overseeing. That person as an admin could support, maybe. But really, as the director, they should have been overseeing some of those, you know, having oversight over that. And maybe that was happening, and I'm not saying it didn't.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that that person that was the financial admin took on a lot more responsibility than they were classified to do or trained to do.
Yeah.
And so I want to make sure we clear that up right now.
Right.
And that that director pulls that stuff back up under the director.
Yeah.
That we hire an admin assistant to support administrative support to the library managers, to the
right,
to the director.
Right.
And then if that director at a later time says, I need more help, they either, where do they need that help? Do they need, if we have the financial staff outsourced, do they need an HR person? Do they need somebody, do they want to just give some support, you know, have that admin person support them and give them some training so that they're qualified to support those decisions? And then you'd have to look at the position and all that stuff.
Right.
I don't want it to get back into a situation where we have somebody inappropriately classified doing work that they really shouldn't be doing.
Right, right.
One of the things that really is helpful in this model is that the board needs to learn. I mean, everybody seemed to be confused about what, you know, what they were supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and
that has to be delineated. And a good, strong director can help us with that.
Absolutely.
And that is, absolutely, you know, that kind of experience is something that will help put out so many fires before they ever get started.
Yep.
Most of the board, when I first came on, I hate to say it, a lot of us felt like we were in the dark.
I was
appointed treasurer. I'm still treasurer. I have gotten better. I am still not an accountant, but I understand what's going on with the budget and stuff now much more than I did before. And since our previous president has left, Robert and I and Patty and every Karen and everybody else, or the newest person on board, we are more aware of what's going on.
We communicate, right?
We're talking to get each other on a more regular basis than we ever were in before. And it is good. I hope I go in and I have a question and answer deal with Lori at least once a week, asking her disc questions or whatever, trying to get smarter about what we need to be thinking about for our expansion. And that's my that's what I was brought on to do.
Sure.
And so I'm trying to keep my oar in the water there.
Yeah. And that's a good example of something that you can keep doing now before you even hire a new director, because you're not going to be hiring a director for their construction.
Right.
You've got the expert right here. So that's a good example of stuff that can move forward. Tell me a little bit more about when you said about outsourcing financial stuff. Do you mean that you would have some, like, hire an actual bookkeeper, not necessarily whether they are a member of your staff or they're a contract person? Is it that kind of thing that you're talking about?
I'm thinking that based on our audit, that having somebody who is can do the accounts receivable and account payable, who's mm-hmm. certified to do that bookkeeping.
Like QuickBooks person.
Yeah, basically. Somebody who can do that online and integrate it.
Yeah.
Right? They would be able to integrate it with our automated timekeeping and payroll.
Yeah.
Right? Which is what we want to go to. I want to make sure not that... I want to make sure that there are appropriate controls. And what I found is when we lost all these people, that was probably our biggest concern, because we wanted to make sure that PARA was paid, our payroll right. taxes were paid, that we were paying our bills, that we were paying our employees, right? And so I don't think as a board we want that, based on our discussions, we want that to be a single point of failure anymore.
Right.
I mean, we were lucky that we had the right people that we could pull in a pinch to get us through, you know, to get us through until we get through this, get a director hired. But it's like we were lucky to have that, right? And I want to make sure that they're not ever left in that situation again.
Right.
And so if we outsource that to, for example, we have a contract with a CPA who is doing
it. She was at that meeting.
Yes. Doing it at a discounted rate for us. Yeah. So, because she loves libraries, right? And so she's willing to help us through this transition piece, right?
Right.
Until, and she has the knowledge and awareness. So, for example, we've talked about, can you go out and find, if we want to outsource accounts receivable and accounts payable, for example, can you go out and find us at least three names of organizations or people who are certified and able to do that work from a professional perspective that we could then bring back to the board and we could talk to the board about it
and see if that's you or talk
yeah whatever we need to do in terms of that. And that, since we're budget planning in June, begin budget planning,
right,
we need that sooner rather than later. I'm starting to write I say requirements, but user stories, right, to say these are the things that we need if we're going to automate. Like, an employee should be able to put in their time. A manager should be able to approve the time of their employee,
right?
Writing those things down, pulling that all together. And then the auditor was really great, gave me contacts for Paylocity, for ADP, local ADP, because we had a demo that was horrible.
Yeah.
A local ADP.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of places, the auditor gave me some names of organizations, the nonprofit organizations she supports, who use these vendors. Mm-hmm. And so the thought would be we would get all those requirements together, and then we could schedule some demos and say, okay, show us how you can meet these requirements with your tool.
Right.
Which we didn't do with the ADP one, and that was just such a cluster. So we won't do that again. We learned.
But we learned.
Yeah, we learned from that.
There you go.
So,
there you go.
So that's another thing that we're trying to do. And of course, the director, right, is going to need to have oversight over compensation, over the finances, over workers' comp, over HR.
They don't need to be in QuickBooks paying stuff.
Yeah, they don't need to be doing that.
You know, issuing invoices.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever.
They should be approving and making.
Libraries don't issue very many invoices, but.
But we do.
You get, but we do.
And, you know, in the collaborative, oddly enough, we do more than you'd think.
Yes.
Because we invoice each other as stuff goes missing.
Yes, exactly. So. So a sort of what you're talking about here is, it kind of brings us back in my mind to what you were saying before about moving past being a small kind of mom and pop type organization, you know, like a sole business, a small business, to something a little bit more just an evolution from that. Because, you know, a library director definitely should have skills with outreach. That speaks right back to library service and serving your community. They should have skill, you know, they're going to have the skills and understand all the stuff about library stuff, collection management, planning, and all that kind of stuff. But it's a waste of everyone's time, and it's dangerous, in my opinion. You are putting yourself at great risk. If you try to have your director be something that they're not an HR law expert, they're not a QuickBooks expert. And that's where these really small places can, you can put yourself at real risk. So
I want to give them the tools.
Yes, exactly.
And the people, to be able that they need to have a general understanding about HR, like
exactly.
Like, right, a general understanding.
Exactly.
But I've also...
They don't have to, like, pay the payroll tax.
Right.
That's, you need to pay, you need a payroll company to be doing that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. They need to be focusing, I think, more on community.
Yeah.
And on their staff.
Yeah.
Right?
The management piece of HR.
Yeah.
Not all the legal, well, that includes legality. But you understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there anything else that you guys would like to tell me at this point? I know that it's not your last time ever that you get to tell me something.
Well,
if you could see my face, you could see that I'm being a little cheeky. You can tell me things anytime you want to tell me things.
I would be a little more impressed if you like that a lot.
I should have worn a pink belt too.
Actually, Harry Potter was here over the weekend. We could have gotten you one.
So if it's okay, let's transition to, I brought here, and you can pass one over, my Lord. I brought copies of the Trinity's out of the timeline template. Again, let me stress, it's the template. It's for you guys to, you know, and with, you know, my support, however much you want, you know, to start with. Well, no wonder I had all those extra pages. I only gave you, oh, no, wait a minute. Oh, no, I did. Okay. Now, let's see. What did I do here? That's what I get for. Okay, some of you have don't have the right page.
What's your page?
That's not the right page. Yes. Okay. We need more of the page one because page two. Is it gonna do you any good at this point?
Do you want me to go cut my copies?
Let's see. We would need. I think we've got enough page twos. I don't know what the heck I did.
So we need four or five more yeah. page twos.
And okay. And just we can. I thought it would be a good place to start a conversation about next steps. So here you can look at my page one.
This first one here, you say job ad in quotes book. Are we talking we're gonna go all pirate on here or
maybe
or you know, I would be kind of cool to do that.
My wife already says I'm blind in one eye, I can't see out of the other. I'm a dog show judge, and that's main qualification.
So. Oh, and I think I may have asked you, do you have a favorite breed? Or no, your dog was joining us at that board meeting, I think.
We show Yorkies.
Oh, okay. So, thank you.
But I'm an Aubrey judge. I'm actually.
Did you get the right one?
That takes a lot of skill.
Well, I'm actually one of only 24 judges in the world that's licensed for everything for UKC, which is the United Kennel Club, which is the largest performance registry in the world.
Yeah.
And so I judge all over the United States plus 14 other countries I can go to. I've only been to a couple of countries as it is, but
that is so impressive.
It's weird. It's a weird job.
I want to be cognizant of time.
Yes.
She has 15 more minutes of time because we were supposed to go till 2.
Well, who, me? Yes. Okay. Oh, I can see however long you guys want.
Okay.
So we'll go with your, it's Friday. We'll go with your time frame.
Okay.
So that is so cool, Al. So cool. I am so impressed. Okay. So again, this is yours to, for us to, you know, move things around. This is just a starting point for conversation. But what I like about this is that so far we've talked about overall goals. And what I would like to do is this here where you, this document that was in your packet that you gave me, the library director qualifications, essential duties, that's the job description, right?
Yeah, this is one, yes. And what I'd like for you to do is to take a look at it, give feedback, and because this is the one that Tim had.
Yeah, okay.
So okay. I just wanted to have something as a starting point.
Yeah, exactly, absolutely.
But I'd like your feedback on it.
Okay, good. Because I think that's going to be is to start at the basics, because for one thing, you've got history, you've got future, that is a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of knowns that are causing stress and in the community. And you've got some history here, quite frankly, of contention. And I'm speaking from my knowledge going back to when Carrie was the director. My impression from things that we would hear in the live, that I would hear at meetings, was that there was a lot of contention. Mm-hmm. And I have wondered in learning more about what's going on now, if that has contributed to the culture that has been an issue. There should not be people out there in your community who are sending you basically death threats. That was horrible. I'm so glad you called the police about that. That was that's terrible. That comes from somewhere. Now, I don't know. It doesn't really matter where it came from.
Right.
What that tells me as the outside person is that, you know, you need to start from the ground up in some way. You've got some really nice buildings. You've got some great staff. I know that the community, it's always been my impression, and this is even from talking with Lucy Reimer, who's the director at Lyman Public Library, is that the community really values what your library district does for them. You've got so many positives, but this is you've got a really fine, wonderful moment now where you can start to lay the foundation, not lay the foundation, but improve the culture.
Yeah.
And I think to me, I think your job description is going to be one of those key activities, because you're going to be able to talk more about, you know, what are the, you know, the goals, talk more, flesh out if you need to, more about the things we talked about today. Really get the roles and responsibilities in line with you know, what our best practices. Yeah, I just maybe, I don't know.
I'm going to leave it to you to give your advice and counsel.
So I'm thinking, let me just go away and look at this.
Okay.
And that's one thing that we're a place that we can, you know, that we can start. So I had just filled in this today's date on this initial piece. So you can see I did some work.
Well,
again, if I didn't have my shit in my mask, you'd see I was laughing at myself.
My next question here then is, what kind of a time frame, how much time needs to elapse here to get to the next box, so to speak? What are we thinking there? Because what I look at here is my wife and I, we have gone online to Colorado Library Deals and looked at the job postings there and how much information is posted there as to what they're looking for. I hate to say it, but most of the postings are very, very big about what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And so what we're talking about here is a lot more detail.
Yep.
And whatever. So
it is.
It comes back here to my hook deal.
Yep.
It sounds to me like that little blurb on there is the hook to get the fish, so to speak, taking the nibbling at the bait, and we're trying to get them.
If that's what people think is their hook, then they don't know how to fish.
Okay.
So I will explain to you what the methods we use and what we recommend to people, and then you can take it and adapt it as you see fit. But to go back a sec, that let's say that I will work on the job description. And I don't know if I can get you anything by the end of next week, but then maybe the middle of the week after, which is the week of the 20th, I think.
It's the week of the I left my phone sitting on my counter.
That's okay, I got it.
I have another question for you.
Yeah.
As we're going through this process.
Yeah.
At a certain point, there are just a couple of things that I know Patty struggled with. It just jumped right out at you. It's been kind of a wedge issue. And that is, what, you know, contrary to maybe the popular belief of some of the people on, you know, in the American file, who thought we wanted to be in the middle of their business.
Yeah.
We never had one to be in the middle of their business. What we want is somebody who will look at the board and say, we understand the direction you want to go. Now we're going to take that information and we'll go to staff. And if we see inconsistencies, we're going to try and implement something that will get these two things together.
Right. You have oversight. Now the law only calls out three, I think, is it three? It might be one or two more. It thinks specifically that library district boards do hire and fire the director,
yeah, or if I love that,
oversee and approve policy, not write the policy necessarily, because that's why you have the expert.
That's why you have a director.
That's why you have a director. Right, but then you should review, and you then are the community voice to say, well, what do you mean you're not going to charge fines anymore? No one will bring their books back. And then you have a good, engaged conversation about that. I happen to believe libraries should not charge fines. Anyway, that's my example all the time. Financial oversight. But, you know, then there is that implied general oversight. And you can't let things run amok. I'm not saying that they were ever running amok here.
No.
But we are
trying to be very careful here. When we even talk about this, but you brought up a note, you know, that was
that I shared with her.
Yeah. And you know, even a blind horse could see where a lot of this was coming from.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure you guys figured out probably right where it came from. Yeah.
But which I don't even know. Isn't our job as a board to go in and take care of all of those issues. That's the director's job.
It's correct.
So is there a way, as we're building this, to say to the director, we don't ever want to see this again?
Maybe not in the interview. That would
I appreciate that.
I know that you wouldn't be like, well, let us tell you what happened. What would you do? I know you would not.
No.
But that's where the job. That's where the job description is foundational, right?
It's very right. It's very clear about the expectations of that role.
And what is the role?
The only thing that's on my agenda, we need to have it so the trustees can do their job.
Yeah, exactly.
Their job.
Now, but I think it's important too, right? And something we didn't do when we were just doing at the end is, in the time that I've been on the board, I don't know that we as a board, I mean, we would sit in a board meeting and give regular feedback. Oh, you're doing fine. You're doing great. But we never have these open communications and dialogues like I'm having with Lori and Ruben every week as the president of the board. You know, what's working? What do you need help with? Here's where we are. Here's where we're going. Right. And we never did that with the previous director. And I think that previous director wanted that. Right. And when we were giving it, it was at a point where, you know, they always say when people decide to leave, they're leaving.
Right.
Right. So I think that decision had already been made. It was just a matter of time. And so I don't want it to, I want to make sure that we're giving appropriate feedback, that it's clear, that there never becomes this this whole
personality.
Well, the other thing too was that we never wanted to step in and say we think there's something wrong with the organizational structure. We tried to just kind of say that, and nothing was ever done. So then we finally said, okay, we need to look at all the positions because we don't think the organizational structure is correct. We think there's a problem. And part of the concern was that I feel as a director, that is a director's responsibility. If a board member comes to you and says, I have a problem, you have some concern about the overall organizational structure, that's not something you hand off to your admin. That is something that you should go work.
Right.
And so I think what we're really wanting is to ensure that we have a person who has enough experience and knowledge that when, if we came to as a board and said, hey, we're noticing X, that they would take that as I need to go take action and come back.
Right.
Right. And
right.
That action is me as the director because that's my responsibility.
Right.
Even though I may not be strong at it, you know, or I may not have that much knowledge about it, or maybe because I've always had this person doing HR, like I'm really concerned. I don't want HR going into the hands of an admin person who's not trained.
Right.
And doesn't have the skill set.
I agree. And so, yeah. And so there again, that's where we come back to the place to start is with a good, strong job description. Let me ask you this. Do you have a job description for a trustee job?
I don't think I've seen that. Maybe it's in the bylaws.
That would be a great that would be a great thing to have.
We don't actually, each one of us, we were brought on mostly for our individual skills.
Right.
And we I was encouraged to apply by the librarians here.
Yeah.
I mean, they said, Alan,
yeah,
you read a lot of books. We know you have a ton of construction experience, and we know you have experience keeping a herd of cats going the same direction type of deal. And so you should apply.
Yeah.
And when I came on, I was a little concerned because, and I'm still a little concerned, I'm the only person in the group that doesn't have a degree. And I'm all self-taught. And so.
But we don't look at that. I mean, I don't think that matters.
It doesn't. Because I'm gonna tell you also my feeling about degrees in general. I do not believe, and if you look at our hiring guide that's online, it says right there in our intro that, and this was the sentence I wrote because everyone knows how strongly I feel about it, is that having a master's degree in library science is not necessarily a predictor of success at being a director.
Oh, no.
So there you go.
Right. Well, see, that's my wife has degrees up the kazoo, and we get along. She's always on my case. She says, I don't understand. You read a lot of books, but your spelling is terrible.
You know, it's one path. It's one path towards being successful. But it's not the only path to get there. There are so many fantastic directors in this state and that I've seen across the country who do not have a master's in library science. They may have a master's in something else. They may have only a BA. It's so there you go. That's my feeling on that.
Okay. I think it's interesting that we've had this book and I do refer to it. But it says the duties of the trustees, and it lists the statutes.
The statute stuff.
But it's still, like, if people just read this.
It's not good enough.
It's not good enough, but I'm just saying, like, if you read this, right, you would see, like, we have authority to enter into contracts.
Right.
This has been a point of contention. Adopt library policies and bylaws for and participation in all board meetings. Right. Cause management of library property.
Right.
I mean, that right there. Right, but you're right. It should be more specific, right. But that right there talks about things we've been doing,
and it should talk about if you do create a job description for your job description, it's going to be that higher level, you know, not necessarily we want one person, you know, we want one baker, tinker, tailor, whatever, not that, but that is going to flesh out what the statute says. So that here's how that this looks in practice at, you know, Pines and Plains Library District. Those are two foundational documents that if you can't go back to those when you start to feel like, oh, things are going off the rails a little bit here, who does what again? You're going to go back to, you know, your director job description and of course your staff as well, but that's for your new director to, you know, oversee that process, and your board of trustees, the bylaws, and a job description. And it's a good recruitment tool. When someone comes in and says, hey, what's that all about? You can hand them a trustee job description.
Which would have been helpful for Alan as he talks about being the treasurer.
Right.
Right. He didn't really have a job description.
Right.
He just got took to the back and said, here, just sign me. Right.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, wait, no, your description is bigger than that.
Right. That's nothing.
Yeah. And so,
I had to learn. I mean, I asked a lot of questions, fortunately. And some of my questions, I'm sure, irritated people or were strange, but.
Oh, man, I love it when you ask questions.
I got there, and I had the distinct feeling that our previous library director was somewhat scared to talk to any of us. The only person he seemed to really talk to was our current president, and our president didn't talk to the rest of us on the board.
Yeah.
And so we were, I won't say we were totally in the dark, but we were aware of our immediate little area.
A flashlight was
necessary.
Advisable.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And it was, it was a serious luring. I mean, the current group now, In the last 6 months, has been more aware of each other, what's going on, than any previous board, I think. Yeah, and so it's been good in that respect, and so I hope that continues too.
Right, and that will be when I make an note here to myself, so I don't forget. You know, that will be a really important thing for the new director to, you know, maybe work on even in the first year. I don't know, but to work on is what is the trustee recruitment and orientation process.
So for the other,
because it needs to be standard across every single trustee that comes in, it has to be standard. And then if you're going to be an officer, here's extra what you need to know to be the treasurer.
We have
the secretary.
We do have something like that. What I'm not sure, and I probably don't have it with me, but I have it at home. I'm not sure if that was something that was written here and that I got from Wendy or where I got it exactly.
A lot of it came from the state library.
Yeah, so I do have some of that.
Yeah. And that the stuff the state library has is a great starting point.
Yeah.
And then but then you have to take it and make it fit your organization as well. It's sort of the bare bones. Here's the bare basic.
Myself, for Patty and Robert, from the 15th to the 19th of this month, I'm going to be involved. I'm the head man at three dog shows, and I'm herding about 1,000 cats, all trying to keep them going in the same direction without getting in a fight.
Now that's tough at a dog show.
It is.
Hopefully, I won't have any cats, I'm going to have about 700 dogs and 1,000 people. They're trying to being show chair. So from because I start setting up the show on the 15th, and the 19th is the last day. So. And on that time, I'll answer a phone, but I'll be at Raffle Fairgrounds.
The only thing is you're around to do payroll to sign up on that payroll.
Yep.
Okay. Mary Ellen will be here on the 16th.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to answer your question about what the job ad looks, what that means. And I'm sure Lori is very familiar with our quick style of job ads and such. But we currently have one ad up right now on Jobline, and I'll find the link and send it to Patty, and you can look at it and see what.
My wife has that. We.
Yeah. So you can look. So just search for click, and you'll see. Abby just posted last Friday, a week ago.
And all I could say was, oh, dang, I have a dog. Can't do that if you have a job. I can't do that. But boy, if I was 30 years younger, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
You better not leave. It is physically demanding.
But this is yeah. It's great. It's like having your go bag ready at any day to go out.
Not yet. No, but, yeah, Lauren.
Oh, no, job. I can't.
About the job we've got posted.
I know, but I'm telling you, I'm looking at other jobs right now.
I'm looking at other jobs. I was unemployed for long enough that I'm on permanent feeds. You know, they're all saying she'll never get a job again.
Yeah, right. So we'll come back to that. But I think, so here, let me say this as one piece of this. Is that I know that now that you've finished the audit, you've got these other things under control, that you probably feel if you want to get this done quick, you really want to get someone on board. And yes, we absolutely do. But as you've already identified, I'm very happy to hear that you identified that. You need to get the right person, and you can't rush through it.
We just need to be methodical.
Yes.
And measured.
You can't rush through it. You can't rush through it. So I will promise to, well, that's not going to help.
So it's 6-3, and you said, is it possible that you could have the job description turned back to us like the week of the 13th sometimes?
No, because I'm going to be out on the road for 3 days of that week of the 13th, and next week is very, very heavy for me already. I could get you something by June 22nd.
Okay.
Since I missed a step, so when do we have to have our end done to hand it to, or we're just going to take what we've already got?
I've given her the job description. Okay. She's going to go look at it, and she's going to come back with her recommendation.
Okay.
And then cool. We'll talk about it from there.
Yeah. And then the next, I think that you know, if you guys want to start filling in some dates, this timeline is, you know, you can download it off of our website. Actually, I could just email you the one that I already put you guys at the at the top of it. But, you know, if you want to start kind of just laying out whatever pieces of this that you want to start working on first, but putting some dates with some of the stuff, like about when do you want to have a final job description, when do you think that's reasonable?
Do you want it to do it by section? Because I'm looking at this and I'm saying,
Some of it overlaps, so you can take pieces out and move them around if you want to. This is just a place to start.
Well, I mean, I feel like
page two. I printed too many page three, not enough page one. Part of what I did, and I think we took your page. You
have don't
page
don't worry, because I know where it is. Okay. I know where it is on the site.
Got it. Sure.
So. So what part of this, what part of this is something, like, is there anything in this that you guys do that we know that we don't have to worry about, that you can at least draft it or pull it together and then you would bring it back to us and we could say, okay, yes, we're in agreement with that or not?
So the only things that we will not do are... I will, if you, so here's the most heavily involved scenario would look like, you know, if you want me to draft interview questions, I can pull some stuff that I have on hand that we've seen successful and send them to you. I could, you know, say from what I heard today, here's maybe how you might want to tweak it. And then you guys can take that and say, yes, no, here's how we want to fix it. Or I could just send you examples and you could fix them yourselves. Or maybe you've got interview questions you really love already.
Like,
anywhere from there.
I like the flexibility. So you could send me some.
Okay.
If you could put some, if you could put together, if you could draft some interview questions that you know have been successful, then we as a board can get them.
Yep. Okay, hold on. Hold on. That's not working for me. I just have to make my big long list. Because some of this stuff you can work on, you know, simultaneously with the concurrently with the other stuff.
Well, we have the rubric, right? We have the when you say finalize the cover letter and resume rubric, what does that mean?
Okay. So that is the one that is the it might be, maybe is that what you've got sitting under underneath here where it says yes, no? What is that?
So this right here is the qualifications rubric.
Yeah, I think that's the initial. So that's the initial one that it just, so that you wouldn't use, most of these you're not going to use until you actually post the job and start getting stuff back.
Right, but I was wondering, do we have to draft something?
No, I mean, you can take the tools that we have and you can adapt them. So that initial qualifications is just the one that says, hey, did they do everything we asked? Did they actually send us a cover letter? People don't always.
Okay, I see what
you're saying. Did they actually, did they do what we asked them to do? And do they even have a back? Do they have the minimum qualification?
So if you draft a job description, excuse me, you send it back to us.
Yeah.
We review it. We talk about it. We finalize it.
Yeah.
Then will you write a job ad for us and post it?
I can do that if you want me to.
Yes.
I can take a crack at it and then I'll send it to you guys and you can say yes, no, whatever.
Okay.
So.
Can I talk about the big unknown here just for a second? Can you give us a realistic range of salary?
I don't think, well, not without going in and looking at what the salaries are.
I have a list.
I sent you that one time way back. And I don't remember what they said, quite honestly.
It was like anywhere from 60,000 to 120,000.
Yeah. There's 70 sounds kind of low to me, quite honestly, for what you want. If you wanted someone who was coming, maybe they've been a mid-level management at a big giant district, not DPL, which is a.
Well, if we don't pay salaries that are commensurate, you know, what keeps flourishing districts working, then we may be, you know, paddling up the wrong creek.
Yeah, you've got some issues here because you had to pay off this building. That makes sense.
I think my first thing that I said was, we want somebody that'll stay.
Yeah.
So we were paying Tim $70,000. That's what we budgeted this year, right? But I think we're going to have to look at paying that person more, that director more. We're expecting more. So I think it's going to have to be 85, 90,000 range just based on knowledge. And then I do have a list of scales that I got from the director of organizational development at state. And I did talk to Employers Council yesterday. And so I
have. You guys belong to Employers Council?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, one thing that you can do somewhat to mitigate a little bit if you feel you can't really afford that much quite yet is that you can explain in the interview that, you know, when you get people, you know, and you give them the lay of the land, you know, as part of the interview, that here's where we're at financially. We've had to pay this, you know, this building up. You know, you can give them the nickel tour of that. And then say one of the first things we want, this would be my recommendation, is one of the first things to have them do is work with Employers Council and pay for a compensation survey. Because they will assign someone to you and they will do a compensation survey just for your library district. We've done that at Click and it is well worth the money.
I want to have them do it before then. I want to do it to plan in the budget.
Yeah.
Because we have an extra.
So that's what you talk to them about, is not just getting their survey information.
Right.
But having them actually do a compensation study for your district.
So.
That's excellent. Because then even if you, so if you've got that, and if you even can't pay the person what you maybe would want to, you've got the proof that here, look, here's our money where our mouth is.
Here's what the salary surveys say that the pay is for somebody in our.
And our goal is XYZ. So.
The other thing too is that we have, and you brought this up, Lori, but that we do have extra money this year, because we haven't had a director. And so we might can offer like a hiring bonus. Right.
Oh, there you go.
Like we might can offer, maybe we can only pay them $80,000 a year, but we can offer them a $10,000 hiring bonus.
It's because that's not going to fold into your need for the ongoing operation.
Right.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. And allow us to use our money that we have this year.
That's a really
good idea. It gives some incentive to bring somebody in.
And
we'll tie to that. If you get paid a $10,000 or a $15,000 hiring bonus, you have to stay a year or pay it back. So we can put that into a hiring agreement that says, right, like you're getting this extra money up front, right? But then what that means is that we're going to expect that you're going to stay for at least a year or you have to pay it back.
Right.
So that might be an option for us.
Right.
And that's something that I was going to look at with Mary Ellen, because the other thing that I want to bring to the board is I want to look at compensation across the board. So I'll give them what I got for 2020. I'll talk to Employers Council about doing, like you said, the compensation study for the district.
Yeah.
So that we have a real clear understanding and we're not hearing from the outside, well, you're never going to get anybody at that pay, but that's what the pay is going for.
You're
going
to get everything. Why are you paying them this much? Why aren't you paying them, you know, and why'd you decide this? You don't tell us anything, blah, blah, blah. You're going to hear all of it.
Yeah.
You know that. And so you've got that then, that here it is from this outside source who is a well-respected, you know, organization.
So let them do the compensation study and give us the basis.
Yeah,
the one that I have from the state is from 2020 and it's a range.
Yeah.
So it's a good starting place, I guess. But I mean, that would give us more detailed information to be able to say, this is really what's happening in our area.
Are you talking about the one? Because I pulled numbers for you off the library, off the LRS site with the, director salaries for somewhat comparable.
This was
for
like
districts that.
That I have that you sent, and it ranged anywhere from like 60 to 120,000. I think was the top top of the range. But you can't really look at that apples for apples because we're a special district, and how we're compensated might be different.
The ones I pulled were only districts.
Okay. All right, so
you're a library district. It's not a special.
Oh, a library district. Sorry.
That's okay. Just as we're moving into this, just
the right terminology.
Yeah.
Okay, so and so then I received another document from the org development director that had like a band around this, like a mid, a median, and a max. I might have said that. I'm gonna have to go back and look. But that was for 2020. That was for all library jobs, not just the director.
Right.
So, which is good because we want to look at all of them, right?
Absolutely.
But I can go back and ask for this compensation study. So I'll do that.
Yeah, that would be, if they can get that done and get you on the books and you've got the money to pay for it, that would be money well invested. Absolutely.
Are we going to need to have an emergency meeting to appropriate however much money that it will cost that survey?
I will have to call them. I will see if they can do it. I can see what the cost will be, and then I will bring it back to the board.
Okay, cool.
If we need to have an emergency meeting, I'll schedule that, considering you're out, but unavailable that time.
It will be really hard for me to leave that show site. By AKC law, I have to start to finish. I have my body has to be there.
That's okay.
I'm the final adjudicator for somebody falls, bites somebody else, or smacks somebody else.
That's okay. I'll try to do that on Monday. I'll try to. At the end of the day, I'll put her, or maybe I can send her an email. I'll send her an email and let her know what we're trying to do and see what they can let me know if we can get something back. So, because we want to start budget planning in January, I want to get here on the 16th. So, and part of that is I want to be able to, if somebody says, well, they're only paying us the blah, 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 in Finland, or blah, 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 in Kiowa, or I can say, well, it's all that the labor market bears, you know, and I can't just, like, I'm doing it on fact, not just throwing stuff out of my head. But yeah, I'll work on that on Monday.
Let me ask, do you guys have a job application? You don't need one. I'm already looking on here.
We do for
the director.
Not for the director. We have a standard job application and we just change it.
You can have to pull that out if you want. I mean,
can you send it to me?
Sure.
Oh.
I'll just send it to the board. How's that?
That's great. Okay. So last thing. I can say as long as you want. But okay, so what this means up here, we're about the job ad. So what our philosophy is and what we recommend, and then people can take it and make it your own, however that looks, is that when you're posting this on Jobline, or if there's other places you decide to post it, you know, nobody wants to read, like, you know, we want an innovative, blah, blah, blah. You read the same ad a million times for all kinds of ads, right? It's the same damn ad. Pardon me. It's the same ad. So, you know, make it your own. Put some personality into it. So, yes, you can find that one and send them the link to the one we've got up right now.
Yep.
So that's the first step, is making your ad stand out from the standard, you know, the standard. And then the marketing of it. So that's what this job ad and the hook refers to. So, you know, you could set up, because you throw it out there on Jobline, but it's still kind of hit or miss if you're going to get the right people swimming by to see it. So if you come up with some 2-3 sentences, and again, I've done this for libraries, I've given them ideas. For like a 2-3 sentence thing that we can put, that I can or Lori can post on LibNet, which is the listserv that is any library person in the state, no matter what type of library or anything, you know, belongs to.
We have an account, we can log in.
There's also other listservs that if you post it, then I can pick it up, forward it to other lists that I maintain, or, you know, we could put it on CPLD, Jim could post it on, if you wanted to do that.
I'm
going to leave that up to you guys, because you probably have more knowledge of that. I really only have knowledge of like specific library related places. So
I just want to cast a wide net.
I agree. So there's we could put it on the Mountain Plains Library Association, which is a 5 or 6 state, kind of down the middle of the country. That would get people. I could post a little marketing teaser on the listserv for Association of Rural and Small Libraries, ARSL, because that, you know, you can get some good people from those. And it's somebody who's going to know rural and like rural, because that's part of it too. I mean, you guys are in a very unique situation right now, but, you know, part of your, like we talked about, part of your county is rural and probably may stay that way for a long time. So, you know.
I just don't want somebody who has a rural mindset.
No, you don't. But but that it's part of that wide net.
Yeah, you do.
It's part of that wide net. So yes, so there's a variety of things, and I'll put all this in an email to you guys. So you put your, you post it on whatever job books you're going to post it on, and then you set out a schedule. So for instance, right now, we did soft launch on last Friday for the job that I'm here in the capacity of filling in for right now for our Polygon Call consultant. And then Monday we did the first teaser. So it was like a 2 or 3 sentence little thing, and I can send you what it was. And then it said, I don't know what it said. What did Jim say? Something about, do you want to be part of our evolution? And it was cute. Something about evolving, something. But it's attention. And it gets the personality of the organization.
Would you like to grow a prehensile tail?
Yes. There you go. Well, maybe we don't really mean a prehensile tail, but metaphorically, you're the person we need. There you go.
We'll get it cropped for you.
There you go. and then it has a link to the actual job. So if that's what you put on these listservs, it's just that hook. It's that, you know, thing that gets people's attention. Okay. And then you can set out, you know, timeline for how many of those do you want to set out, depending on how long you want to leave the job open. So that's what that's all about. Then the where it says cover letter question. What people who we have recommended and have followed this recommendation have found very successful is in your ad, ask them to answer a specific question in the cover letter, because otherwise you're going to get the standard cover letter that they send to everyone. And so, for instance, we're hoping to soft launch another job right today. We're going to be hiring a talent development professional who is a training and adult training professional to work at Click and help us across all our service areas. It's a brand new, and people are going to be like, what? That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So,
how long do you leave it posted for? Let's say you posted it in July.
I would say at least 4 weeks. Okay. Don't look at what we're doing. We've got our HR person's going out on maternity leave, so we're trying to get it. We're doing concurrent job searches in a really short time frame. I don't know if it's going to work, but we're going to try. We may have to extend how long it's open, but you know, a month.
Let's use the month of June to work on the job description.
Yeah.
Get that back to us, then we can review it as a board. Then I think. I want to be, there's a lot on this list. I don't want anybody to be overwhelmed by it.
Right.
So we can't do anything without a good job description.
Right.
So let's get a good job description.
Right.
If you can provide us an example of a hook, you know, a job ad hook.
Yep. Yep.
And then I think once we get that back, then we can look at, once we get that from you, then we can finalize the job description. We can talk about with you, like, you know, that job ad and that hook, right?
Yep. But when
and where we're going to post it and how long we're going to post it for. But I think we have to get the basics. We have to get the job description and the job ad hook to try to understand what that looks like.
And what you were saying about that you don't want someone who's only rural or only urban. That's where you could build a question for the cover letter. And, you know, in your cover letter, please answer the following question, you know, and ask it something that gets at, you know, the fact that you need someone who can straddle both worlds and be respectful to both, you know, both types of community members.
Okay. All right, so you're going to look at the job description. You're going to give your feedback. You're going to give us a job ad and a hook example.
Yep.
And then you'll bring that back. You'll have that to us by the end of June. I said 6/22 because that's what you said.
Yep.
by 6:22. And then if you have it to us by 6:22, we can look at it in the board meeting on the 29th. And hopefully make a decision by the 29th.
And then be ready to post.
And then be ready to post, right.
Excellent. Very cool.
Cool.
That's very cool.
I will say that is our goal. That's what we'll strive for. Sometimes things happen. You need to push it out a little bit. You know, we'll do that. But that's what we'll strive for.
Exactly.
Then the next step will be, after we finalize that, we'll then be talking to you about, let's list out all the places we could post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I will.
And we also need questions. You're going to provide us a list of.
I got that on my list.
Okay.
Yep. And then I will also I will also sum up that other stuff we talked about like where would be places that you could actually post your job, like MPLA has a job board, like Jobline does. But then also where are the places that you could do marketing?
Okay,
so I'll sum that up. I'm sure Lori, I'm sure you'll remember, but it's like another thing to have it all in one place for everyone.
Yeah, that would be great. And that will give us that to work on the June board meeting. Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
This is exciting.
Yes. I feel like we're feet are down and running.
We're definitely moving.
So I'd like to get a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn our meeting at 2:32.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Did you hit the button on this one?